You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Modern man fears most the possibility of prolonged suffering, of a slow death, of terminal cancer.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, help us to overcome the one fear that haunts our world, the fear of death. By your love in Christ Jesus, by his death and resurrection, by your forgiveness of our sins and your gift of life, assure us again that you are God with everything in your hand for everyone. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. The one common denominator of all people is death. That is the one thing people don't like to talk about. To think of death, not to speak of talking of it, seems morbid to some and repulsive to others. The one man in all of history who took death willingly, not seeking it, but accepting it, not with heroic stoicism, but out of a selfless love for people, was Jesus Christ. He died, not for himself, but for others, not to get a name for himself, but to do for others what they could not do for themselves. He died for all. The word of God is about him and the salvation he got, not for himself, but for the whole world. That's what the Bible keeps talking about. It's what the Bible is all about. This is God, believe it or not, as he is. This is what he does out of the goodwill he continues to have for people who don't deserve even one least bit of it. St. Paul said, as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. He must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews said the same thing, as did everyone who went out to tell the good news of God in Jesus Christ. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same nature, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. That's a matter-of-fact way of talking about a subject people ordinarily don't like to talk about. An ordinary way of describing an extraordinary happening. It has to do directly with death. This is the way death, which is real, can be overcome, really overcome. As in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Jesus Christ took our nature, every bit of it, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death we're subject to lifelong bondage. Isn't it a great thing to be able to talk about death as it really is? To face death and face it out. It's great when you consider what our world usually does with death. Some researchers conducted an experiment with mature housewives who were asked to interview a hospital patient. Some were informed that he was merely sick. Others were told he was a terminal cancer patient. Those who felt that the patient was sick reacted warmly to him. Those who thought he was dying were repelled by him, avoided eye contact, and shrank away from any physical contact. Medical people have discovered that they react in the same way. Doctors have to learn how to deal with a dying patient, and some of them never do. The medical profession is intent on healing, you see. Some doctors feel hurt, disappointed, and even angry, not just at the thought of death, but at patients who are dying. I wouldn't be surprised if some ministers feel the same way. Death is for everyone, for our friends, our families, as well as our enemies. It is not pleasant to see anyone die, any more than it is for the person who is dying. In one of the ancient litanies of the church, there is the prayer that God would deliver us from sudden and evil death. The thought of dying without notice, without an opportunity to prepare, caught Christians in those days with a fear greater than the fear of death itself. Modern man, if he prays at all, very often asks that his death be sudden and without warning. He fears most the possibility of prolonged suffering, of a slow death, of terminal cancer. Death is viewed as a threat, a senseless intruder. Dying is looked upon as having no possibility of redemption. Death has no answer. To be compelled even to seek an answer, to look death in the face, is the dread of the modern world. That is why people have such a paralyzing fear of cancer. In death notices, this cause of death is not even mentioned. It's the result of a prolonged illness, the news story says. Everyone knows what that is, but no one dares give it the name of cancer. I'm always amazed by the number of people who don't even want to know that they have cancer. Doctors and family members cooperate with this conspiracy to withhold the truth. People don't want to believe that they are terminal, when everybody knows anyhow. They mask the truth they don't know how to deal with. I guess all of us have some of that in us, a tendency to repress what disturbs us. We would rather delude ourselves into thinking that somehow everything is going to be okay. Someone will find a cure, or we will turn out to be indestructible. We are in lifelong bondage to that fear, as the writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews plainly says. Not because we have to die, but because we fear to die, because we are almost ashamed to die. I mentioned cancer today because it has become almost unmentionable. To die from a heart attack has become fashionable, or from an automobile accident. But cancer has become an enemy that strikes terror. It's often undetected until it's too late. It is a mystery killer. Death on the highway or a coronary infarction can be explained. Not cancer, at least not yet. It has become almost shameful to have cancer, as though somebody had contracted a social disease which nobody cares to talk about. Now, Christ's men did not hesitate to talk about death. They took death out of the unmentionable and brought it out into the open. They probably never heard of cancer. A lot of our grandparents never heard of it. I wouldn't be surprised that my one grandfather died of cancer, but they said at the time it was stomach trouble. We know so much today, but we don't know any more about dealing with death, and very often not as much, as the man did who said, "In Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." Christ was a man for us all, that in every respect he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who, through fear of death, were subject to this lifelong bondage. Let's get right to it. Our problem is not physical or even medical. It is spiritual. We have a spiritual disorder inherent in our flesh and blood. We are human. We die. We inherit from our forefathers the disposition to death. And no amount of rationalizing is going to change that. You can argue that it's unfair, but you can't abdicate from the human race. We make our own contributions to the whole process. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Whom does that leave out? You? Me? Anyone else? Someone wrote to me years ago, the only time I've ever received such a letter, that he never sinned in his whole lifetime. I wrote back to him, "You've just committed your first sin." That's sin. Not to see yourself as you are. Not to recognize the judgment on our very humanity. not to want to face the whole ugly reality of death. The wages of sin is death. And everybody in this wide world of ours earns those wages for himself. The reign of death, for that is what it is, produces universal fear. It's the one fear that characterizes people everywhere, no matter on which continent or on which isle of the seas. To escape death, people worship the wrong Lord. They're afraid of the devil who has the power of death. They do everything they can to appease him. Devil worship assumes all kinds of forms, some of them blatant and some of them very subtle and refined. Devil worship is not new, and it should surprise no one. Turning away from God, ignoring God, not wanting even to talk about God, is a subtle and refined way of worshiping the devil. That's what he likes. He must be laughing up his sleeve at the number of people who think they are getting away with something. They are actually getting judgment, including the ultimate judgment, which is death. Glorifying life at the biological level, which is very popular these days. Elevating health to the top of the hierarchy of values. Striving to look young. Shirking the truth about themselves. People reveal not only that they love living more than they love God, but also that they fear death more than they fear God. Trying to escape death does not mean, my friend, that you're going to escape God. Dying is still there, only you're hastening the process. The fear of dying is not merely fear of the unknown, the anxiety of being human and mortal. Rather, it's the inability to reverence God, to know him and trust him, to be accountable to him with confidence that he forgives. To fear anyone or anything more than God is devil worship. Jesus Christ said, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." That's God. He's the one who knocks down our idols and upsets our plans. He's the one who exposes our flesh and blood. This is not just religion or theology. It's a fact of life. We're talking about God, who is. He not only is, he does. That's good news from God. It's good news that as in Adam all die, in Christ shall all be made alive. He's the only one to make alive. No amount of religion is going to do that. No human effort, no matter how prodigious, can bring it about. No piety and no faith can do it. Only Christ can do that. He makes alive. This is faith, to accept for yourself what Christ has done and what he constantly does for you. He did it for you. Accept it for yourself. Accept him. Have faith in him. By faith in Christ, people are put right with God to become children with him in his family. Their sins are forgiven and their fears overcome, even the fear of death. By their faith. All of this happens not because they have faith, but because they have faith in Jesus Christ, who alone makes alive. He himself partook of our nature, our human nature, our flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to bondage all their life long. Jesus Christ has borne our sins in his own body on that cross of his. He forgives our iniquity and heals our diseases. He took the cancer into his own heart and soul. The whole disorder of our humanity worked itself out in his death. And with his stripes, we are healed. He knows the cancer. He destroyed him who has the power of death, removing the fear that holds people in lifelong bondage. In the suffering and death of Jesus, God brought about what Martin Luther called the great exchange. Jesus took our bondage. God gives people who accept that great act of his in faith freedom from the unbelief and rebellion which is so characteristic of our humanity. In him, said Christ's men to people who were once unbelievers and have now come to faith in Christ, in him you are lights. You were once darkness, and now you are light in the Lord. It's a great thing to live in the light of Christ. Nothing can change that, not even death. It's tough, I know. I've ministered to many people who have had cancer or other diseases which afflict our common humanity. I've talked to them until they could just whisper into my ear because they did not have enough strength to talk out loud. Those whispers turned out to be not loud protests against the justice of God, but acceptance not so much of death as of Christ, the victor over sin and death. Christ really rose from the dead. He is really Lord over both life and death. To anyone who fears cancer, who fears dying, who fears death, to those who long to be free of their bondage, who wish to find new life to overcome the disorders of flesh and blood, there's a great word of promise from God about his rule and authority and power in Jesus Christ. He must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. God has put all things in subjection under his feet, and all things are subjected to him. And the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things under him, that God may be everything to everyone. He is God, not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. All who have confidence in him shall live. The new body of his Son has healing and hope for everyone. I personally hope that we shall find out someday what cancer is. I hope we shall find a cure for cancer. I hope the same thing will happen in the field of cancer research that has happened in the field of polio research. I hope it happens soon, because I've seen so many people suffering from cancer. But there's always death, and it will still be there after all the research is done. The fear of death will still be there, too. Only Jesus Christ can deal with that. He died, he did, for you. Having died, he rose again, and there is life, even for you. It took a woman with great faith in God and with no particular pretensions of piety to say, I thank God that he trusted me with cancer. I would like that faith for myself. With all my heart, I wish it for you. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Who is he that overcomes but he that really believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen.